السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A friend of mine went home to his village to meet his relatives. There an event occurred which I am relating here. In that village lived a farmer whose mother and wife were always at loggerheads with one another. On many occasions his wife would leave the house being dissatisfied, but the father would bring her back after a great deal of persuasion. On the last occasion, his wife was ready to return, but on the condition that he must kill his mother. The father, being sick and tired of those daily quarrels, out of desperation agreed. He devised a plan to kill his mother. The farmer's work entailed cutting sugar cane daily from his farm and taking the cane to the market to sell. One day he took his mother with, on the pretext that she should help by lifting up the bundle of sugar cane and placing it on his shoulders. He got his mother to stand next to him while he started cutting the sugar cane. His plan was to hack her to death. As he was about to attack her with his hatchet, the earth beneath his feet suddenly opened and seized his feet. The hatchet fell to the ground some distance away. His mother ran away out of fear for her life, crying uncontrollably. In the meantime, the sand continued to drag him down slowly and slowly. The farmer cried out loudly, calling his mother and beseeching her to pardon him. But the farmhouse where she had sought refuge was at a distance and she could not hear him. The local people heard his cries, but it was too late. By the time they reached the spot where the farmer was sinking down, the ground had already engulfed his body up to the chest. His breathing was also very labored. In this condition, he sank into the ground. Those present tried their best to pull him out, but the earth did not leave him and he died there. So this event occurred a few months back. The time when he went there, it had occurred a few months before that and it is authenticated. Probably he made some tahqiq and found out. There is one incident mentioned. Whether it is a true incident or whether it is just a kissa for ibrat, also of a person whose wife convinced him to kill his mother. So this person, the wife told him to kill the mother and must bring her the head for proof that he has killed her. So he convinced the mother to come with him and he beheaded his mother and took that head and was going now to go and show the wife. And while he was going, he slipped. He's running now. What type of halat he must have been in also. So he tripped over something, he fell, and the head that he was carrying fell down. And a voice was heard from the head asking him if he is okay. Showing a mother's love, that no matter what, a mother will be a mother. A lot of times it is found that the son gets married to somebody that he is totally infatuated with. And then the wife then becomes his qibla. And then he totally ill-treats the mother, doesn't fulfill her rights. You know, this is something very, very bad. One Sahabi could not read his kalima at the time of Maut. And other Sahaba came to tell Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for the mother. Called the mother and told her to forgive her son. Because he was giving preference to his wife over the mother. Must forgive him. So she refused. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then instructed the Sahaba that gather some firewood and I'm going to burn it. So you're going to burn my son. He said, well, that's what's going to happen. Worse going to happen to you if you don't forgive him. So then she forgave him. And she forgave him. Then he was able to recite the kalima and he passed away. So, this incident is also mentioned in this kitab, also this incident of the Sahabi we are talking about. At the crucial time of his death, this doctor was demanding copies of Reader's Digest magazine. Passing away now, last moments, he's asking for Reader's Digest magazine. Now, today's time, I don't know if this Reader's Digest, but in the old days, this was a must in every house that had Reader's Digest. If you don't want it to the post, you. So, his wife was standing by his bedside and she is reciting Kalima loudly with the hope that he will also read the Kalima. Unfortunately, he did not. Never read Kalima, he's only asking for Reader's Digest. After he passed away, I inquired from the wife the reason that he was deprived of reading Kalima. She replied that her husband was very fond of reading Reader's Digest. Since the Reader's Digest was his most desired object, he demanded it even when he was leaving the dunya. So many of us today, we waste time on the phone. So much of time gets wasted on the phone. The amount of time we waste on the phone, we haven't got that amount of time to talk to our parents or to our wife or to our children. So much of time we waste on the phone. And what we're looking at on the phone, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Imagine at the time of maut, if the person that time to is asking for his phone, that time to he wants. Some people, any adults, big people, any free moment they get Candy Crush. They're playing Candy Crush game or some other game. Any moment, instead of making some dhikrullah, making some istighfar, doing something. I'm not saying it's haram, that the muftis must say, but to any moment, these things consume you. Any free moment, you're sitting somewhere, you're waiting, put the game on. You're sitting somewhere, put the game on. His zamindar was repeatedly asking whether fodder was given to his buffalo. When his relatives brought this complaint to me, I was alarmed as I knew that his bimari was such that death was approaching fast. This person doesn't have much time left. His whole life had passed in raising buffaloes, providing fodder for them. The same concern obsessed him now at the time of death. Consequently, he passed away asking about fodder for his buffaloes, being deprived of the blessings of reading the kalima. Obviously, a person has to work. So whatever your kaam is, that's what you will discuss. But namaz time, the business must be one side. I must go for namaz. Right? The business mustn't consume me to the extent I'm at home too, I'm talking business. I'm in a masjid to our business. I'm in a kabristan our business. Now, sometimes we reprimand the businessman, right? We reprimand the businessman about this. But some from us, we have hobbies. Right? We have hobbies. And the hobby consumes us. We meet in the masjid, the only thing we're talking about is that hobby. Kabristan too, we meet, the only thing we're talking about is that hobby. That hobby keeps us away from Jamaat Salah. Keeps us away from reading namaz with Jamaat. Now, for example, you get a person, he likes his fishing, right? So now, he lives here in Albert Falls. So now, last hour before sunset, is the right time for the bass now. Last hour, 1 hour. Now, he's not thinking Asr Jamaat. Just before Asr, he's running away to the dam. to go and fish. And I misses his namaz with jamaat, asar namaz. So now that means the hobby is consuming him. Hobby is consuming him. All the time his mind is only in that. Sometimes person is in hunting, sometimes person is in a sport, whatever it is. And all the time he is consumed in that. It mustn't happen at the time of maut, that is coming out of his mind. You see, you have something that you do. Everybody has something that they, some people like their gardening, some people like their animals, but some people get consumed by it. Anything that they do, they have to go so deep into it. Study that thing, that. These things, sarsari torpar, you do it and finish, the thing is over. It's just a hobby, you're free, you're on holiday, something, say, alright, Charo, go do that thing, you finish. But for it to consume you to the point that now everything about it you know. I know some friends that are caught up in fishing. They can probably fill a tackle shop with the amount of things they have. It's so consumed. Every time you go into the tackle shop, you have to buy another reel, another rod, another something, another something. So now you're becoming consumed by it. That's not healthy. That's not a healthy thing at all. An advocate of Multan was admitted to my ward. He was being treated by me. After a few days, his relatives informed me that he was talking about preemption all the time. When I approached him, he turned onto his right side and he asked what happened about preemption number 10. What is preemption? Anybody knows? I don't know what is this preemption. So he's asking what happened about preemption number 10. On turning onto his left side, he again asked what happened to preemption number 3. Soon he breathed his last in that fikr of preemption. Whatever this preemption is, I don't know. Allah knows best. A patient was in my ward. His illness suddenly became very serious. I ordered the nurse to administer a certain medication by injection. When she was about to administer the injection, he started swearing her. He's being abusive to her. After his unruly behavior, she refused to give him the injection. I then gave him the injection myself. He started swearing me also, using even more filthy language. Shortly thereafter, he died. On inquiry, it was found that the swearing, this abusive language, was habitual with him. It was part of his vocab. Whenever he spoke to anyone, he used abusive language. This was the result that while leaving the dunya, abusive words were issued from his lips. A young man with a heart problem was admitted to my ward. Whenever I went to attend to him, a radio was to be found by his bedside with him listening to music. That was his pastime, listen to music. I knew that his illness was incurable. I therefore tried to persuade him that he rather read Quran Sharif, do something like that. He informed me that he was Hafizul Quran. So he does both. He listens to music also and he reads Quran also, both things he does. I then asked him as to what he did more. He replied that he was giving more time to the listening of music. When the inevitable happened and he was dying, he did not have the strength to read the kalima, never mind any part of the Quran. How unfortunate it was that he had placed greater value on music than on the kalima. This unfortunate soul was deprived of the blessings of the kalima. I remember, Azmoyes Patel Sam Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned to us that once he went to the hospital to visit a patient. Person was sick, so he went to visit. You know, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, ajeeb sifat they had. Allah give us those sifat. So they're asking me experiences. Somebody wanted, I don't know who asked. So there's experiences coming. Once I took the family to a doctor in Durban. We went there just for a checkup. The doctor told me that I can't take her away. She has to be admitted immediately. some serious situation. So she was admitted. So I phoned Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali for du'as. This is the situation, make du'a. The next visiting hours, Hazrat had brought his family to come and see her. They, with all their work and all their this thing, they still find, you know, take out the time. We are weak. Allah forgive us. So Hazrat went to the hospital to see that person, and he's seeing that they got about 3 TVs. One in the front, one on the right, one on the left. And this was an old man passing away in his, you know, like marz-e-wafat. So Hazrat asked the son, what's this, so much TVs? He said, no, father, you know, he loves his TV. So now they have to keep turning him because of bed sores. So whichever way they turn him, he must have his TV in front of him. Now they think they're doing good for him. The sons, I think they're doing good for him. I don't know how he passed away, but as I just mentioned, what a pitiable condition that at that time also now, mort is staring you in the face and you're worried about putting the TV right. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Ta'ala give us a death with iman. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته